Praise God. Thank you for joining us again on our Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland podcast. This is Pastor Tim McLaughlin. So glad that you have decided to join us. I want to jump into this really quickly today. I apologize for those of you that may follow us on a regular basis. We had some technical difficulties last week getting our podcast up. I had started 2 weeks ago with a sermon on the title of What's the Treasure Worth? And I want to pick up on that today. So if you haven't listened, maybe this is your first time joining us, please make sure that you go back and listen to the part one of this. But I started talking about this, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, again, just real quick, you know, I talked about last time, I don't want to focus so much on what he sold, but I shared a little bit of my story. And when I struggled with drugs and alcohol for 20 years of being bound in addiction, and I finally surrendered all to the Lord, what I did is I actually gave. I got rid of. I didn't give it away. I threw it away. I had old CDs. I had old movies. I had old pictures. I had old clothes. I had all these things that continued to remind me of who my past was. And I was never going to get free as long as I was holding on to the past. And the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is this treasure. And if you can imagine this, that this guy is walking across this field. And he's walking across this field he doesn't own. And all of a sudden he stumbles across a treasure. Just imagine it's a treasure chest. And maybe he opens up this treasure chest and he sees gold and he sees diamonds and he sees rubies and emeralds and he sees all this. And it's just, literally millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of treasure. And he wants the field, so he covers the treasure back up and puts dirt over it and kind of, ruffles the grass to make it look like he wasn't there. And then he goes and he finds out whose ground this is, who owns this piece of land. And when he finds out who owns the piece of land, he says, "What do you want for it?" And the guy says, "Well, I don't really want to sell it." He says, "Well, I'll give you whatever you ask for it." He says, "Why? Why do you want it?" He says, "Well, I just want it. What do you want for it?" And then, they go back and forth. The guy's like, "I don't really want to buy it." And eventually he says, "Fine, if you want it that bad, I'll take this much money for it." So the guy leaves. He says, "I'll be back with you in a couple days." He goes back. He ends up selling his car. He ends up selling his house. He ends up selling, all of his football trophies and all of his, all these things. He does whatever he can because he knows that what he currently has is not worth what he can have. And what happens is so many of us want to hold on to what we currently have, and because we hold on to it, we cannot get all that God has for us, which is this treasure called the kingdom of heaven. So last time we talked about a little bit about the what it takes to get rid of those things, some of the things we've got to be able to let go of. We discussed in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, that we need to put off our old man, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy language. We need to get rid of all of those things. We need to die to self so that we can live this life that God wants us to live. We've got to be willing to let go of those things. Galatians 2:20 says, "I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, but not I, but now Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me." It's the life that I live today. I can't live today holding on to yesterday. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If there's anyone that is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new." If I'm continually holding on to the past, I will never be able to embrace the new that God has for me. So let me ask you today, what is this treasure? The Bible tells us again in Matthew chapter 13, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this treasure." So what is the kingdom of heaven? Well, number one, the kingdom of heaven is God's presence. Now, so many times we think about the kingdom of heaven and we think about someplace up in the solar system. We think about someplace way far away. We think about someplace that, you know, we're only going to get to when we die. We think about someplace that is this, you know, magical kingdom or something like that, you know, like Disneyland on steroids or something. But the reality is, Jesus said that we need to pray for the kingdom to come, and we'll get there in just a second. But we need to understand that the kingdom of God is not some distant place. The kingdom of God is not something that's afar off. The kingdom of God is not something we have to wait until we die to receive. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, I think about this. I think about the fact that John the Baptist is about 6 months older than Jesus. We know this because in Luke's gospel, it talks about how when Elizabeth got pregnant, and then 6 months later, Mary gets impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and when Mary walks into the house, the babe that is inside of Elizabeth leaps in her womb and is filled with the Spirit. Mary leaves, John is born, Mary goes back. 6 months later, Jesus is born. Jesus and his family take off on a journey. They go to Egypt, and they go to all these other places. They end up in Nazareth. All of this before Jesus starts his public ministry. We have no proof anywhere that Jesus and John the Baptist, even though they were cousins, ever spent any time with each other. Jesus' family was on the run for much of his adolescent life, so we have no proof that they ever saw each other growing up. But because of the Spirit of God that was inside of John, the Spirit of God that had touched John in the womb, John knew a little bit, he could feel, he could sense the presence of God. So when Jesus came and he began his earthly ministry and he came about the Jordan River or the wilderness of Judea, wherever it was that John was preaching and baptizing, all of the sudden, as he enters in, John did not recognize the man. John recognized the presence of the Spirit. John, I can just imagine it. John sitting there in mid-baptism, and all of a sudden, he just senses the Spirit of God is present. He begins to look around the crowd, trying to figure out, who is it? But he tells everybody right there, you need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not afar off. It's not a distant land. It is right here, right now. James Fowler, theologian, says this, the simplest definition might be, heaven is the presence of God. Could it be that simple? Yes, because heaven is God. And God is heaven. Think about this. We understand through the scriptures that Jesus, or that God rather, holds the whole universe. God holds the whole universe in the palm of his hand. We've got scientists that every single day they're discovering new stars, new galaxies, light years, billions of miles away. They're discovering these lands, and they just keep thinking and talking about how far the expanse of this galaxy is. Different solar systems, black holes, new stars, new suns, new planets, and yet God created all of it and holds it all in the palm of his hand. We have not yet found out everything between his pinky and his thumb of what God created and what exists. God is heaven, and heaven is God. Jesus said when we pray in Matthew chapter 6, he says, we need to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray that the kingdom of heaven come to earth. How does that take place? It takes place in the presence of God. Where two or three are gathered in His, He is in the midst of us. His presence is with us. We understand that God is the kingdom. God is the treasure. God is the one that is longing for us more than we're longing for Him. But we cannot get all that God has for us. We'll never be in His presence as long as we're holding on to the past. Moses was willing to go up to be in His presence, forsaking all that was below. Moses walked away from his earthly riches. He walked away from Pharaoh and the power and the glory that went with that to be part of, to receive all that God had for him. We need to believe and we need to pray for God's presence. We need to be willing to get rid of anything in our life that is standing in the way. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The presence of the Spirit of God is within every born-again believer. We understand in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive my spirit. Receive the presence of God. Receive the kingdom of God. So what is this treasure? This treasure is the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? It is God's presence with us. Number two, the kingdom of heaven is God's power. Not only is it His presence, it is His power. Now, we get so consumed with power. We got people in Washington, D.C., and we got people out there that think they have power. They don't have the power. Think about this back in Jesus' time. You had the Caesars in Rome that are conquering and going out and taking lands, and you think, man, they've got this huge army, these vast soldiers, that they've got all this power. They would set up different people over the different lands that they had. We even had people that were over Jerusalem, that were over Israel. We had all these different pontiffs that were over these areas, and they thought they had power. Jesus even told him, he said, you have no power other than that which I give you, that my Father has given you. So when we understand power, we need to understand it's not man, it's God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 8, it says, these 12, talking about the disciples, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the presence. What happens when the kingdom of heaven is at hand? When the kingdom of heaven is present, then the power kicks in. Then he goes on and he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Understand this. The Holy Spirit had not yet fell yet, but the kingdom of heaven was in their presence. Jesus was in their presence. And because Jesus was in their presence, and because His presence was operating in them, they were operating in His power. Today, we understand because of the day of Pentecost that the presence of God has fell upon the believers. So now that power is working through us. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Listen, they were telling everybody about Jesus. They were telling about the fact that he had died and rose again. They were telling people, but nobody was getting it. And then all of a sudden, on their way to the temple, they run across a lame man. And Peter reaches down and says, silver and gold have I none, but all that I have, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. This guy jumps up, completely lame, been laying there for 30 plus years. Now all of a sudden he's walking and running and rejoicing and worshiping God. And then all of a sudden 5,000 people get saved. Why? Because of the power. It wasn't the words. It wasn't the things they were preaching. It was the power of God working through the disciples. Luke chapter 11, verse 16 through 20 says this, "Others testing Jesus sought from him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out?'" And I want to pause right there. So Jesus is doing, he's raising the dead, he's healing the blind, he's healing the leper, he even raised the widow named son, and they're sitting there and they're saying to him, "You do this by the power of Beelzebub." And he says, "Why would Satan want to rise up against itself? A kingdom against itself would be divided. This is not by the power of Satan. This is by the power of God that I'm doing these things. Don't be confused. This is the power of God." And then he goes on and he says this, "Therefore they will be your judges, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Jesus said, there's so much power in my finger. It's by the finger of God. Remember, I told you the galaxies, God holds them in his hand. All power, all authority God has. And with his finger, he can cast out demons. And yet he says for you and I that we, just like the disciples, can go about casting out demons, healing the sick, doing these things. How? By the power of God. When you are in the presence of God, you can operate in the power of God to do what God has called us to do. But you're never going to be able to operate in the power of God if you're still holding on to the things of this world. Are you willing to go and get rid of all of these things that you've been holding on to that have become gods in your life? Trophies. Things that you hold on to, things that you worship, are you willing to get rid of those to have all that God has for you? First is his presence. Second is his power. And third, the kingdom of heaven is God's privilege. It's God's privilege. I think about this. Growing up, my dad used to build hot rods. He used to build pro streets. We always had nice cars, man. I'm talking about GTOs, Judges, Novas, Chevelles. Dad owned a Corvette. Man, we had all kinds of hot rods always around our house. Because he was my dad, I got to drive many of those hot rods. I remember being 14, 15 years old with my dad driving cars that had big block motors in them and being able to do hole shots and things like that. When I was 17, I would get to go drive these cars by myself and go cruising up and down Woodward Avenue or M59 in up in Detroit. I was able to cruise these cars, and I would stop at car washes and wash them and wax them, and people would come by and they would admire these cars. And the reality was they couldn't have those cars. They couldn't drive those cars. My friends couldn't drive those things. Why? They didn't have the privilege. I was privileged because of whose I belong to. Now, that's just a man, and that's just a car. How many more privileges do we have when we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 through 19, he says, "And I also say to you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He told Peter, he says, "Listen, I can give you keys that nobody on this earth can give you. I'm going to give you keys, and whatever you lock will be locked. Whatever you unlock will be unlocked. Whatever you close will be closed. Whatever you open will be open. I'm going to give you keys, and these keys are to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Peter, you get the keys because you belong to the King. If we want to operate in the privilege of all that God has for us, we need to be willing to get rid of all those other things. My dad would have never given me the privilege if I'd have been disobedient, if he had to worry that I was going to wreck him, if I didn't love him, if I was a, you know, there are certain things that I had to do to inherit those privileges. God says all we need to do is call upon the name of Jesus. Call out to Him and ask Him to be Lord of our life. Call out to Him and repent of our sins. Let go of those things that are holding on to us. He said, come unto me, all you burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Not only will He give us rest, not only can we cast our cares upon Him, but He will give us His privilege to operate in His power. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Because of the power of the blood, we have the privilege of the kingdom. With His presence with us, His power working through us, He has given us privilege, things that nobody else, other than those that are part of the family, those that have been grafted in, know anything about. What are you holding on to that you need to get rid of in order to receive His presence, His power, and His privilege? What are you holding on to that you're willing to give away, get rid of, let go of, so that you can receive the treasure, which is the kingdom of heaven? You can never receive what God has for you if you're holding on to the things of the world. Let go and let God and receive His treasure. Father, I thank You that I'm a child of the King. I thank You that I've been born again, filled with Your Spirit. Lord, that I get to operate in Your power, that I have privilege that only comes from You. Lord, I thank You more than anything for Your presence in my life. Now I pray, Father God, if there's one listening today that may not know You as Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation. May today be the day that they call out to You, repent, turn from their wicked ways, let go of those things they're holding on to, and say, Lord, all I need is You. For those that are born again, for those that have been filled with the Spirit, but for those that are still holding on to some things of old, Lord, I pray today they will release those things. Get rid of them so that they can receive the treasure, the kingdom of heaven, all that You have for them. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You for Your love and Your kindness. And we thank You, Father God, for all that You're doing in us, through us, and with us. And Father, we give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, for You alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again for joining us. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. I pray that, that you would just have a blessed Christmas and understand that the reason for the season is Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.